verse 1 says this right here. And King Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, reigned instead of Coniah, the son of Jehoiakim, whom Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, made king in the land of Judah. But neither he nor his servants, nor the people of the land, did hearken unto the words of the Lord, which he spake by the prophet Jeremiah. When you think about King Zedekiah, as we think about him, there's an old, old proverb. I don't know where it comes from. It doesn't come from America. It's really old. And basically it says this: there is no problem so big or complicated that it can't be run away from. I'll say it again. There is no problem so big or complicated that it can't be run away from. And that's what you'll see King Zedekiah do. He gets every chance under the sun to deal with this problem that's going on around him. But he continues to run from it. He continues to ignore. At this point in time, in chapter 37, Jeremiah has been preaching for over 30 years. He's been 30 years in the ministry. He started, remember, at about 21 years old. So he's now in his 50s. And this is what we're going to see in 37. The third and final time that Nebuchadnezzar has come down against Jerusalem. Over 30 years. And the message hasn't changed. I don't know how long you've been going to church, but chances are good if you've been going to church 1 year or 2 years or 5 or 10 or 20, you may have heard some of the same Bible verses taught on over and over and over again. Maybe if you've been to a church that teaches verse by verse, maybe you've been to that church long enough to where you've even been through some of the same books because they continue to go through the Bible. Maybe if you go to a topical study kind of church, maybe you've heard them teach on the Sermon on the Mount or on the Mount of Transfiguration or on sin or on the Holy Ghost or whatever. And you've heard it time and time and time again. And there is no problem so big or so complicated that it cannot be run away from. Have you continued to ignore what you've heard? King Zedekiah, after 30 years of Jeremiah preaching. Now the king's heard the message many times. He still ignores it. Now remember that Zedekiah, he's not really king because he's king. He's king because he has been placed on the throne by Nebuchadnezzar himself. And he was a weak, worthless, somebody in there is hurting, can you tell? That's a strong cry. And he was a weak, worthless leader for the people, King Zedekiah. He was a plastic person. He was a paper tiger. He was put in charge by the powers that are taking over, so to speak. And you notice when I read to you in verses 1 or 2, we read that neither the king nor his staff nor any of the people listened to the words of the Lord. Not one. Not even one. Not one paid attention to God's words spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. They got tired of hearing Jeremiah. They got tired of the message. They're so tired of hearing that there's a possibility of hell. They just want to hear, can't you tell us some good news for a change? And today, people have not changed, and they don't want to hear the Bible. That's why the seeker-friendly churches, they're called seeker-friendly, because they try to befriend the seekers. What are you looking for? I don't know. I'm just looking for a spiritual experience, something religious. Well, check us out. Seeker friendly. People want to do groups. And in the group, they don't want to talk about God. Let's just party. Let's just bring everybody to a party. Don't bring up God. We don't want to turn them off. We're seeker friendly. What that tells me is people don't want to hear the Bible anymore. That turns them off. Good news upsets them. The news that Jesus Christ loves you and died for you, paid for your sins on the cross because you are a sinner, you louse. People don't want to hear that anymore. You know what they want to do? Let's just play. Let's just do water balloons. Let's just volleyball. And you know, we can win them to the Lord by our looks. We can win them to the Lord by the way we cook. By the way we make our burgers and our fries and all the grease that we do. Jeremiah never quit preaching the truth. Nobody listened to him. I'll read you verse 2 again. But neither he, that's the king, nor his servants, nor the people of the land did listen to the words of the Lord, which he spoke by the prophet Jeremiah. Man, how would you feel if you were Jeremiah? Because God earlier on said, you tell them exactly what I say. Don't water it down. Don't try to make it any prettier. Don't couch it in nice words. Tell them what I said. God loves you enough to tell you there is danger ahead for you. Turn back, O man. Forswear thy foolish ways. Turn back now while it is called today. And people say, you know, that hurts my feelings. I think you're going to damage my psyche. You're ruining me, I think, and I don't want to hear this kind of thing. And believe me when I tell you, the churches that are exploding are the ones who aren't dealing with this. Jeremiah's church, it didn't explode. His church had a congregation of one. It was Jeremiah. I know a lot of pastors who understand that feeling, and I see them, some of them. They give it up. You know, let's just quit teaching verse by verse, because if you just do a topical on death, you can fill the place. If you just do a topical on ugly, you can fill the place. If you do a lock-in and have people cover themselves with mustard and run around in the dark, you can fill the place. If you teach the Bible, it's hard to get people to come out. You see, they've heard it for more than 30 years. They've been hearing it and hearing it and hearing it. It's getting ugly. Look at verse 3. And Zedekiah the king sent Jehuchal, the son of Shelemiah, and Zephaniah, the son of Maaseiah, the priest. They sent him to the prophet Jeremiah, saying, pray now unto the Lord our God for us. Now Jeremiah came in and went out among the people. That means he wasn't in prison at this moment, for they had not put him into prison. Then Pharaoh's army was come forth out of Egypt. When the Chaldeans that besieged Jerusalem heard tidings of them, they departed from Jerusalem. So here's the scenario. The king sends a delegation to Jeremiah. What's happened is, we mentioned it the last time we talked about the book of Jeremiah. Remember that the city of Jerusalem had been besieged by the Babylonians, by the armies. But the Egyptian armies began to move to come up north. They were going to try and help. And so Nebuchadnezzar's, his army stopped the siege, turned around to go and tackle Pharaoh's army, the Egyptian army. So there's kind of a lull in the storm. The pressure's let off for just a bit. When the pressure is let off, Zedekiah the king sends a delegation to Jeremiah. And the delegation, the message from the king is this: please pray to God for us. Notice that people don't want to hear this garbage, but when they're really, really in it deep, or when they're really hurting, they want you to pray for them. You, the very one they don't want to listen to otherwise.
We really don't want to hear this Jesus stuff. But when they are in trouble, the king says, would you pray to your God for us? The king should have said, our God. But he says, pray to your God, you see. He says, pray to the Lord, our God. He calls him ours here, but he doesn't listen. And you've heard him call him your God before. And so the pressure's let up and the king says, pray for us. Well, I don't know about you, but I know many people would have just looked at the king and said, shove it up your nose. You're not about to listen to anything I've got to say. You don't care. But Jeremiah, there's always a hope there. And so Jeremiah is going to pray. And he prays to the Lord. And here's what the answer is from the Lord. Then came the word of the Lord unto the prophet Jeremiah, saying this. That was verse 6. Verse 7. Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel. Thus shall you say to the king of Judah, that sent you to me to inquire of me. Behold, Pharaoh's army, which has come forth to help you, shall return to Egypt unto their own land. And the Chaldeans shall come again and fight against this city and take it and burn it with fire. Thus saith the Lord, do not deceive yourselves, saying the Chaldeans shall surely depart from us, for they shall not depart. For though you had smitten the whole army of the Chaldeans that fight against you, and there remained but wounded men among them, yet should they rise up every man in his tent and burn this city with fire. Man, that's bad news. Here's the answer. The king says, pray to the Lord. We've got a little let up in the action. Pray to the Lord. Ask him, give us a break, please. Help us here. Here's God's answer. Pharaoh's army, Egypt. Oh, yeah, they've come up to help you. But just let me give you this news. They're going to be soundly thrashed. They're going to be defeated completely. And the Chaldeans then will turn back around, come back to the city, surround the city, and Babylon will crush you. God says, and I'm telling you right now, if you had the strength to fight the Babylonian army to where you could wound every one of them, still, I would give them the ability to beat you. Even if every man in the army was wounded, they will still take this city and burn it to the ground. Man, that's bad news. I will give them the victory over you. Even if they are hurting, I will give them the victory over you. I don't know. I'd call that bad news. There's been good news over and over and over again. There's been good news. There is mercy. There is kindness. There is all this goodness with God. And people just laugh, say, not interested. Don't want it. Don't want to hear it. Don't shove that down my throat. I don't want any of this religious garbage. So God says, all right. Then when the trouble comes, there will be no let up in the trouble. Suffering is coming, everybody. Suffering is coming. I heard someone once say, I'm not going to accept Jesus just because I'm so wimpy I'm afraid to suffer. I am. Suffering is coming. Jeremiah has been saying it all along. Real trouble is coming. You've seen nothing yet. And remember when Jeremiah said, this is hard, God said, oh, Jeremiah, don't start whining now. You have seen nothing yet. It's really going to get hard for all them. It's going to get hard for you. Wait in a minute and see what happens to Jeremiah. God's answer, sorry you had your chance. Verse 11 says this. Oh, wait a minute. Did I read verse 10? Oh, yeah. You better be glad I moved my pages. I was going to another chapter. And it came to pass that when the army of the Chaldeans was broken up from Jerusalem for fear of Pharaoh's army, then Jeremiah went forth out of Jerusalem to go into the land of Benjamin to separate himself thence in the midst of the people. And when he was in the gate of Benjamin, a captain of the ward was there, whose name was Irijah, the son of Shelemiah, the son of Hananiah. And he took Jeremiah, the prophet, saying, "Thou fallest away to the Chaldeans." Then said Jeremiah, "It is false. I fall not away to the Chaldeans." But he hearkened not to him. So Irijah took Jeremiah and brought him to the princes, to the leaders of the village, of the city there. Wherefore the princes were angry with Jeremiah and smote him. They had him beaten and put him in prison in the house of Jonathan the scribe, for they had made that the prison. When Jeremiah was entered into the dungeon and into the cabins, and Jeremiah had remained there many days. When the armies of Babylon, turned away from the city to fight the Egyptians, there was a lull in the pressure. The king said, "Pray for us." Jeremiah prayed. The word of the Lord came back. They're going to whip Egypt. They're coming back here, and they're going to finish the job here. I have given them the victory. It will happen. After he told the king that, because he was a free man, he decided to get out of Dodge. He went back to the land of Benjamin. Remember, we learned at the beginning of the book, that's where he comes from. So maybe he's headed home to take care. Remember, he bought some property. Maybe he's headed out there to deal with that. Who knows exactly what he's doing, but he's separating himself from these people around here in Jerusalem, the Bible says. Well, when he gets to the area, Benjamin, his homeland, while he was there at the gate, which is where you would take care of all your business transactions. It was like the courthouse. The gate of the city was where you would go to buy and sell and trade. It would be, and you'd do, just to transact your business. There he was at the gate, and the corporal of the guard, the captain of the forces, whatever you like to choose, the guy in charge, he sees Jeremiah, the captain of the guard, and he arrests him. And he arrests him with what charge? Desertion. You've deserted the armies of Israel. You've deserted and you've joined with the Chaldeans. You're under arrest. Jeremiah says, "It's not true. I mean, I was in Jerusalem, yes, but the Chaldeans, they're down fighting the Egyptians. I've just come up here to take care of some business, to deal with this." "No, you're lying. You are a deserter. You've run away." So he arrests him, takes him before the leaders. The leaders call him a liar and have him beaten and thrown into prison. Into the dungeon. When it says in the dungeon, into the cabins, all that means is in the cells inside the dungeon. So here he is, Jeremiah, minding his own business, trying to do his own business, and he ends up in jail again, accused of being a deserter. This guy can't win. Well, Jeremiah is in prison again. And verse 16 says, and he was there a long time. We're not sure how long, but as we begin to deal with him a little in just a few verses, now he's up in his 60s. Jeremiah was in dungeon a long time. What did he do? You know what his crime is, don't you? Being a Christian. His crime is wanting to do the will of the Father, wanting to do what God has called him to do, wanting to do it faithfully. And I've mentioned it to you, and we've talked a lot about it, and when we get through the book of Judges again, you'll learn all kinds of things about it. Compromise. It's just a little thing, but we're all guilty in areas of compromise, and compromise is defeat. Once you compromise, we've learned it here from the kings, from the people. Once you've compromised, you've lost. It's defeat. And compromise, you and I have talked about, is always more comfortable than commitment. Always. The easy way out, that's the comfortable way. Now, don't tell me you've never taken it, because you and I know what we're talking about when we talk about compromise, don't we? Taking the easy way, going downhill instead of trying to walk up. It's easier. Well, Jeremiah refused the easy way. Now he's in prison. How long was he there? Many days. In our language, a long, long time.
So it is true. You can do the things that are right and just and the things that are God's will, and you can suffer in this life. It is true that following God can bring suffering in our lives. Take a look at Peter. Take a look at John. Take a look at James. Take a look at Paul. Take a look at Jesus. Obeying the Father, they're suffering. Jesus says, all those that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Jesus says, in this world, you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. So Jeremiah is experiencing that. And if you'd like to know how he felt about it and some of the things he had to say, then all you have to do is read through Lamentations. The book is not very long, but he'll tell you what was going on in his heart and in his head. You can read the very things that he cried out to God. Well, verse 17. Then Zedekiah the king sent and took Jeremiah, took him out. And the king asked him secretly in his house and said, is there any word from the Lord? And Jeremiah said, there is. For he said, you shall be delivered to the hand of the king of Babylon. Moreover, Jeremiah said to the king, to King Zedekiah, what have I offended against thee, or against thy servants, or against this people, that you have put me in prison? Where are now your prophets which prophesied unto you, saying, the king of Babylon shall not come against you, nor against this land? Therefore, hear now, I pray thee, O my Lord the king, let my supplication, I pray thee, be accepted before thee, that thou cause me not to return to the house of Jonathan the scribe, lest I die there. Babylon has returned to the siege. The king secretly brings Jeremiah out of the prison over the area of Benjamin, brings him down to his own house, secretly though. And he asks him this, well, it's been quite a while now, siege is back on. What did the Lord say? Jeremiah. Now, if you were Jeremiah and you just got taken out of a dungeon and you know what's going to get you back in the dungeon, wouldn't you have a tendency to say, could we talk about this later? Or, you know, let's talk about better days. Back then when it was summer, wouldn't you have thought, oh, man, if I say this, he's going to throw me right back in the slammer. Jeremiah doesn't even hesitate. This is what the Lord says, King. Cancel Christmas. This is what he says. Babylon will destroy this place. Now, before you get too mad, King, I'm asking you, what have I done against you or against this people that you're keeping me in prison? I'm asking you, I'm begging you, don't send me back to prison. There's no way out of this now. Don't send me back to prison. I'm too old. In the dungeon, Jeremiah is saying, I'll die there. And I've done nothing wrong. Babylon's going to destroy this city, though. Nothing I can do about that. What crime have I committed? Why don't you just let me go free? If I'm sent back to the dungeon, I'm going to surely die. And verse 21 says, then Zedekiah the king commanded that they should commit Jeremiah into the court of the prison, and that they should give him daily a piece of bread out of the baker's street, until all the bread in the city were spent. Thus Jeremiah remained in the court of the prison. In other words, king didn't like his answer. I'm not going to let you out of prison. I'll do you a favor, though. I won't send you back to the dungeon. I'll keep you here at the palace in the court of the prison. I'll even feed you one piece of bread a day. Until, and the Bible says, Jeremiah had a piece of bread a day until all the bread was gone out of the city. And they ran out of bread. Then Jeremiah had nothing to eat. I don't know. One piece of bread every day. You think you'd be hungry? He was probably a thin dude. He's getting older now. He's up in his 60s. Why is he being treated this way? Because he spoke the word of God. Because he simply said the truth. Because he said, this is what God says.
it is not sometimes popular to say this is what God says. Someone comes to you, they're living in open sin. You, in love, tell them, you know, this is what God says. Here's God's word. Listen to it. Obey the Lord. And avoid the pain and the suffering that is for sure to come. Well, Jeremiah's in prison. And we go into chapter 38. Then Shephatiah, the son of Matan, and Gedaliah, the son of Pashur, and Jukal, the son of Shelemiah, and Pashur, the son of Melchiah, they heard the words that Jeremiah had spoken unto all the people, saying this, "Thus saith the Lord, he that remaineth in this city shall die by the sword, by the famine, by the pestilence. But he that goeth forth to the Chaldeans shall live, for he shall have his life for a prey and shall live. Thus saith the Lord, this city shall surely be given into the hand of the king of Babylon's army, which shall take it." While Jeremiah was confined to the courtyard, that wasn't the dungeon area, that means he had, he would have some freedom to meet with people. You remember a relative of his earlier on in the book came to him and sold him some property while he was in this particular prison. So he's got the freedom to meet with people. And of course, he has spoken with the people before. Notice he continues the message on. He would remind the people of what the Lord said. And the officials heard God's word again. And these four powerful officials, they heard Jeremiah, as he spoke God's word. Remember what the word was? Those that remain in the city will die. Those who humble themselves and surrender to the king will live. Remember the message? That's the message of the gospel, isn't it? For you and I, if we will humble ourselves and open our hearts and surrender to the King of Kings and ask him into our lives, we'll live, we'll have eternal life. But if we refuse and stay in the same city, in the same condition, in the same kingdom, what'll happen to us? We'll surely die. So Jeremiah's message still rings true today. If you will humble yourself and surrender to the coming king, you will live. But if you remain in the city and you don't turn yourself over to the king, you will surely die. Well, the four powers that be there, they didn't like it. They didn't like the message. They haven't liked the message. Well, nothing's changed. So we read this in verse 4. Therefore, the princes, they talked to the king about it. They said to the king, "We beg you, let this man be put to death. For thus he weakeneth the hands of the men of war that remain in this city, and the hands of all the people, in speaking such words to them. For this man seeks not the welfare of this people, but the harm or the hurt." Then Zedekiah the king said, "Behold, he's in your hand. For the king is not he that can do anything against you." Then they took Jeremiah and they cast him into the dungeon of Melchiah, the son of Hamelech, that was in the court of the prison. And they let down Jeremiah with ropes. And in the dungeon there was no water but mire. So Jeremiah sunk in the mire. The officials went to the king. "King, you got to shut this guy up. He's telling people to surrender, to give up, lay down their weapons, and to surrender to the king that is coming. He's besieging our city, and he's causing people to not want to fight. We're going to lose this thing if we don't fight. You got to shut him up. We got to put him to death." And the king says, "You know, I don't really like the guy. You guys are pretty important. I'll just place him in your hands. Do whatever you think. Go for it. He's yours. Do whatever you want with him." So they took Jeremiah and they took him and they put him back into the dungeon. But not just into the dungeon this time, but in the word that in the original language is called a cistern. C-I-S-T-E-R-N. A cistern. A cistern is a deep pit that they would have digged or dug, almost like a well. Very, very deep, and they would make sure that it had bricks or clay. They would make sure that it would hold water, and that's how they would get their water. During the rainy season, it would drain into the cistern. The cistern would then hold it. So they would use clay or mud or whatever they would use. Well, remember, there has been famine in the land. There hasn't been a lot of rain. It's been dry for quite a while. You remember all that from Jeremiah saying what's been coming. God warning them, this is what it's going to be like. Well, it hasn't rained a lot, so they let him down with ropes. They tied ropes around him and let him down and lowered him down into the cistern with ropes. So now not only is he in the deep, dark dungeon, but in the dungeon there's a cistern, which is almost like a deep well. So there is no light where Jeremiah is, and they lower him into this, and the Bible says it was so deep that they had to lower him, and there was nothing. It sounds like the water was mostly gone because it had been dry for so long. So, but it was just wet enough that Jeremiah, as he hit the bottom, would sink down into the muck, the mud, and the mire. Now, you would hope, if you were Jeremiah, that the mud wasn't too deep, because you would sink enough to where you would suffocate. You couldn't keep your head above the mud. And that looks like the case. Jeremiah is in the mud, stuck down there. No light, no way to get out. I don't know about you, but I'd have to classify that as a bummer. What do you think? Read Lamentations. Because he mentions in the book of Lamentations that they come by every once in a while and throw rocks at him. Just throw big rocks down there. They can't see, but they just toss in rocks at him, spit at him, mock him. He's dying. This is an elderly gentleman now, stuck in mud with no way out. They're leaving him there to die. He'll either finally suffocate for lack of strength, or he'll starve to death. Something's going to happen to Jeremiah if he doesn't get out of this mud hole, out of this cistern. Why? Because he's preaching the word of God. God said to everyone who will surrender to the coming king, I will grant life. To everyone who remains in the same condition in the city, you will surely die. And Jeremiah, in love for the people and in love for God's word, he warned them, surrender, give up, you'll live. God promised, you can count on him. But nobody would listen. Well, verse 7 says this. Now, when Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, here is not even his own countryman, one of the eunuchs, which was in the king's house, when he heard that they had put Jeremiah in the dungeon, the king then sitting in the gate of Benjamin, well, Ebed-Melech went forth out of the king's house and spoke to the king, saying this, my lord the king, these men have done evil in all that they have done to Jeremiah the prophet, whom they have cast into the dungeon, and he is like to die for hunger in the place where he is, for there is no more bread in the city. He's asking the king, please, get him out. Please, there is no reason Jeremiah should be treated this way. Please get him out. Verse 10 says, then the king commanded Ebed-Melech. This king, he's kind of wishy-washy, isn't he? The Ethiopian, saying, take from here 30 men with you, and take up Jeremiah the prophet out of the dungeon before he dies. So Ebed-Melech took the men with him, went into the house of the king under the treasury, took thence old cast out clothes, clouts is what it says, that's clothes, and old rotten rags, and let them down by cords to the dungeon to Jeremiah. And Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, said to Jeremiah in verse 12, put now these old cast clouts and rotten rags under your arms, under the cords. Jeremiah did so. So they drew up Jeremiah with cords, with the ropes, took him out of the dungeon, and Jeremiah remained in the court of the prison. So the king gave him permission. Go ahead, you can take him. I don't know what this king's problem is. I mean, one day he says, go ahead, kill him. One day, oh yeah, nice guy. Jeremiah was in there for a while, and this guy comes to the king and says, we got to get him out. He's going to starve. He's going to die. You can't live down there. So the king says, okay, take 30 guys, get him out. Why 30? Well, it's going to take quite a few to bring him out, and some of the others are going to have to watch in case there's trouble. Take quite a few. Now, Jeremiah's been locked down in some mud for quite a while here. So they took some old clothes, some old rags. They tied them to the ropes. They say, hook these to the ropes, put them under your arms, because we're going to really have to do some pulling to get you out of here. So hook these under your arms. This will protect your arms from the ropes. And he did that, and they pulled him up out of the muck and the mire. And where did they take him? Back to the king's palace, to prison. Why? No good reason. He's just God's servant. And that's how they continued to treat the prophets. Jesus talked about it. He said, which of the prophets haven't you harassed or slain or determined to kill? And he says, your fathers did it. You're the same way. Jesus talks about that. Look at verse 14. Then Zedekiah, boy, this king, the king, Zedekiah the king, sent and took Jeremiah the prophet unto him into the third entry that is in the house of the Lord. And the king said to Jeremiah, I will ask thee a thing. Hide nothing from me. Then Jeremiah said to Zedekiah, if I declare it unto thee, wilt thou not surely put me to death? And if I give thee counsel, wilt thou not listen unto me? So Zedekiah the king swore secretly to Jeremiah, saying, as the Lord liveth that made us this soul, I will not put thee to death, neither will I give thee into the hand of these men that seek thy life. Now the king is nervous. The pressure is on. Babylonians are trying to get into the city. The king brings Jeremiah out of the prison secretly to him and says this. All right, Jeremiah, tell me everything. Just tell it to me one more time. Tell me again. And I'm thinking, all right, all right. The king's finally under such pressure. Maybe he'll listen to God's word. Maybe he'll be willing to say, I am so sorry. I don't know how to get out of this. Tell me what God says and I'll do it. Just tell me what God wants me to do. No way. Jeremiah says, I'm not saying nothing. If I tell you this, you're going to kill me. You'll do it. You'll put me to death. And, I've told you this many times. You haven't listened to my counsel so far. Are you telling me you won't kill me and you'll do what I've got to say? The king says, well, I'll promise you this much. I won't kill you. I promise that I won't have you put to death, and I won't let those men that want to kill you, I won't let them have you. So, verse 17. Jeremiah says to the king, Zedekiah, thus saith the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, if you will assuredly go forth to the king of Babylon's princes, then thy soul shall live. And this city shall not be burned with fire, and shall live, and you shall live, and your whole house. If you'll give up now, surrender to the king. But if you will not go forth to the king of Babylon's princes, then shall this city be given to the hand of the Chaldeans, and they shall burn it with fire, and you shall not escape out of their hand. So the message is pretty clear. King, here's what God says. I'm telling it to you straight. It's what you asked me to do. If you'll surrender now, if you'll give up, if you'll humble yourself and give yourself into the hands of the king, you will live. The city will be saved and your whole house will live. But if you refuse to listen, refuse to surrender, refuse to humble yourself, you will be given into the hands of the king. This city will be burnt, will be destroyed. Verse 19, let's see what Zedekiah says. By the way, all Jeremiah is saying is, according to God's word, king, it's up to you. It's in your court right now. Have you ever told people about Jesus? You know, the truth is, when you and I share Jesus, Jesus loves you. He died for you on the cross. He paid for your sins. But you must make a decision, either for him or against him. It's up to you right now. What's the king going to do? All he'd have to do is say, I'll do it. I'll believe the word of God. I'll trust. I'm sorry. I confess my sin, and I will trust in the Lord, and I will walk out now and surrender myself to the king.
Zedekiah the king, verse 19, said to Jeremiah, I am afraid of the Jews that are fallen to the Chaldeans, lest they deliver me into the hands and they mock me. I just can't do it, Jeremiah. I can't trust God. Some have already been taken captive, and I'm afraid if he takes me, the Jews themselves will kill me. They'll hate me. So I'm afraid. But Jeremiah said, they shall not deliver thee. Obey. They won't do it. Trust God. Obey. I beseech you, I beg you, the voice of the Lord, obey it, which I spoke unto thee, so that it will be well with thee, and thy soul shall live. But if you refuse to go forth, this is the word that the Lord has shown me. And behold, all the women that are left in the king of Judah's house shall be brought forth to the king of Babylon's princes. And those women shall say, thy friends have set thee on and have prevailed against thee. Thy feet are sunk in the mire, and they are turned back. So they shall bring out all thy wives and thy children to the Chaldeans, and thou shalt not escape out of their hand, but shalt be taken by the hand of the king of Babylon, and thou shalt cause this city to be burned with fire. It's up to you, king. I'm begging you. Don't be afraid. Trust God. Don't you love that? Obey God's word. Don't be afraid. You can count on him. Trust him. And you're kind of hoping, okay, king's going to do it. He's going to do it. All right, king, do it. Then Zedekiah said, verse 24 to Jeremiah, let no man know of these words, and you shall not die. Don't tell anybody that you and I talked just now. And you'll live. But if the princes hear that I've talked with you, and they come to you and say to you, declare unto us now what you have said to the king, hide it not from us. We will not put you to death. Also, what the king said unto thee. He says, if they come and ask you what we talked about, thus shalt you say to them, I presented my supplication before the king that he would not cast me or cause me to return to Jonathan's house to die. If they come and ask what we talked about, tell them you asked me not to put you back in the dungeon. Then the princes came to Jeremiah, verse 27, asked him, and he told them just what the king said. So they left off speaking with him, for the matter was not perceived. They did not know. And look at verse 28. So Jeremiah abode in the court of the prison until the day that Jerusalem was taken, and he was there when Jerusalem was taken. What does that tell you? That the king did not obey God. That the king didn't listen, wouldn't humble himself and surrender, and Jerusalem will be destroyed. And Jeremiah is kept in prison till the day that the city is overtaken. You hoped and you hoped and you hoped. Secretly, a couple of times, the king said, Jeremiah, what's it all about? Without hatred, without anger, in the truth, in love, Jeremiah said, King, this is the way it is. This is what God says. This is the way it's going to be. It's up to you. King, you could save this whole city. It's up to you. You can save a lot of suffering, a lot of pain, a lot of ugliness. King, all you got to do is obey God and trust him. The message hasn't changed, everybody. It's the good news. If we surrender to the king, the coming king is Jesus Christ. If we give our lives, humbly surrender, there is life. But if we continue to remain thinking we're going to fight this out ourselves, we're going to beat this, we're going to overcome it by ourselves, suffering for eternity is coming. That's what the word of God says.
That's the good news that we take to the rest of the world. Jesus Christ has paid the price, and in Jesus Christ, you can be set free and live forever and ever. There is suffering because of it. People may laugh at you. People may persecute you. People may not want to be your friend or be around you. But the truth is, you know the truth, and you need to share the gospel. So ask God for opportunities and for ways, because that's God's word. Trust Him and obey. Let's bow our heads.